Good evening. I'm Mark Sinangelo, and I want to thank you for tuning in to our special tonight, Finding Bob Dale. It was 25 years ago tonight that Robert Allen Dale was last seen. At the time, Bob was 33 years old, married to his wife Christy Dale, and had three young sons. On May 18, 1996, Bob and Christy attended a wedding reception. They were last seen around 11:30 p.m. in a van heading north on Mackinac Trail towards Sault Ste. Marie. Tonight, you'll be hearing firsthand from Bob's brothers, Scott and Steve Dale, Detective Sergeant Daryl Harp of the Sault Ste. Marie Police Department, who was in charge of the ongoing investigation, and from Bob's wife, Christy. Tonight is to remind the community that the investigation continues today, and to draw attention to the fact that Bob is still missing. We're not trying to solve the mystery tonight. The sole purpose is to tell Bob's story, the story of that night, and to hopefully encourage anyone with any information to contact the Sault Ste. Marie Police Department at 906-632-5744. All of our interviews tonight have been pre-recorded. If you miss any of tonight's special, we'll have links to each individual interview posted on our 1230 WSO Facebook page soon. It's hard to believe that it's been 25 years since Bob went missing. I personally didn't know him. I'd only been in the Sioux for a year and a half at the point that he went missing. But I remember the posters and the search. When I decided to do this special, I thought there might be others that didn't know Bob, so I really wanted his family to get a chance to let us know who he was and a little bit about how their lives have changed over the past quarter century. We'll start out tonight by talking to Bob's brother, Steve Dale. And we're joined on the phone by Bob's brother, Steve. Steve, thanks for participating today here on the 25th anniversary of your brother's disappearance. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
A day like today, every May 18th, has got to be a tough one for you and your family. Talk a little bit about what your thoughts are today as you think about your brother.
Well, it certainly is for our family, and as it is every year, these milestones that keep coming and going certainly make it a little bit more difficult. But we push through it, and we know that the truth is out there somewhere, and that's basically what we're looking for now and always have of what happened to him.
Tell us again, for people that didn't know Bob or don't know the story, tell a little bit about what Bob was like growing up as one of his younger brothers.
Well, Bob was, me and Bob were only 14 months apart, so we were really close as brothers. I have two other brothers, so we did a lot together. We lived together in California for a while, and we were just really close as brothers, all four of us. But he was great, just a normal guy, loved to fish, loved to hunt, loved his family. He's got three wonderful boys, and it was just a normal upbringing.
So I know your brother Scott was telling me also that he liked to hunt and fish. Now, was he one to tell those fish stories, like I caught the big one or whatever?
He had an old boat that he called the Relic, and he cherished that boat. It wasn't a whole heck to look at, but he claimed he caught a ton of fish out of it. I only went fishing with a couple of times, but no, he really enjoyed that, and hunting as well. He was the first one to drop everything when someone else maybe shot a deer during deer season, and go help them drag out a deer or you know, dress it in the field or whatever.
So you spent some time with Bob out in California. What was that time like?
It was great. He had just recently got out of the Navy, and I went out there just because they were out there basically, and I was a young man and wanted to experience somewhere other than the Sioux. And we hung out a lot out there because it was basically just the two of us and our wives out there. And then he had a little boy, Robert, his oldest now, who's in his 30s. And, we just enjoyed whatever California offers, you know, Southern California and San Diego, the beach, and we're just young kids having a good time starting our families, so.
A little bit different from Sault Ste. Marie, right?
Today's not bad, but
bit
different from the Sioux.
Yeah, actually, today is a very nice day. It'd be nice to have this weather all the time, but
for sure would.
Let's talk a little bit about 25 years ago. When did you first hear the news that they couldn't find your brother Bob?
Well, the day would have been the day after. I guess it would have been the 19th. His wife called me in the morning, and she said, "Bob isn't home, and I know something has happened to him. He's missing." And you know, I kind of said, "Well, let's not get carried away." You know,
right.
It's the night after where they went to a wedding reception. I found out later I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started searching for him. Then I've seen him at my house. His in-laws live just a few houses down on Thursday night before his disappearance. And at least that night, everything seemed to be okay. He didn't seem to be stressed or anything. He stopped at my house. We had a good chat and a beer, and you know, that was it. But we started looking for him right after I found out. So,
and as those you know, days turned to weeks and everything, obviously, I remember, again, like I told your brother, I had been here for a couple years. You started hearing some of the rumors about what might have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody seemed to have an opinion about it and everything. How frustrating was that for you to hear things that you knew probably weren't true about your brother, knowing him as well as you did?
Yeah, well, when we first started, I guess in the early years, I can say that now, we would, you know, kind of get excited about anything that would come in, any leads, tips, or rumors, or anything like that. And, of course, they wouldn't turn out to be anything. And that happened to the family many, many times. So I think we just got a little bit, you know, where we didn't get so excited about these things. And for the most part, they all kind of just kind of went away as, you know, either the police or something else disproved what that rumor was. I mean, there's a lot of people in this town that would say the same thing. Well, I heard this, I heard that over the years. Yeah. Or they'd find a missing person, or they'd find a body or something like that. We certainly have been through all the ups and downs with that over the years. And I've always believed that there's somebody out there other than him that knows what happened.
Sure.
And
it must have been tough. I mean, again, I know your parents passed away, you know, from cancer several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But to have those different family events, whether it would be Christmas or
mm-hmm.
or a wedding or a family gathering or whatever, you know, and to
mm-hmm.
not have him there with how hard was it to go through those different events and everybody not knowing what happened to Bob?
Well, you know, at first it was you know, horrible. His kids were small and stuff like that, and you really felt it. And I do feel it now. Each 5-year, 10-year milestone that comes on, you know, it hurts a little bit more. But there's probably not a day I go by, I know that sounds cliche, that I don't think of him, but it's almost like there's always something there. Always something there that you know he's missing. You know he hasn't been around for a very long time. I used to get dreams about him more frequently in the early years, and now every once in a while, maybe once a year, twice a year, I'll get a dream about him. And the,
sure.
You know, I'm usually mad at him because when I see him, I say, "Where have you been? Everybody's been looking for you." That type of thing. So
right.
Yeah, but yeah, it's been it hasn't been great. You know, definitely through the holidays and everything, my mother and my father, they really like Christmas time and stuff like that. It was a big time of year for them. But, you know, not having him around is it's always been hard.
How about do you keep in touch with your nephews and that?
Yeah, they all left. Well, I don't know how long it was, about 7 years, 5, 6, 7 years after his disappearance. Their mother moved down to the Western Michigan, Grand Haven, Spring Lake area. And they're all based, those three boys are basically down in that area. They kind of grew up. Robert was the oldest, but they kind of grew up in that area. So when we're in that area, if we get a chance or they're up here over the years, yeah, I talk to them as much as I can, you know. But it's not like having them here either,
sure.
You know.
Do they ask you a lot about their dad? Because, I mean, they must have been, I would imagine they would have been pretty young when he disappeared.
They were really young. They do sometimes. It's more of me volunteering information to them. Well, your dad was like this or your dad was like that. Or, you know, you look like your dad or you've got mannerisms like your dad. I know one, the oldest Robert, he looks almost identical to my brother, I swear, sometimes. So, yeah, talks like him and
yeah.
Everything. So. you know.
I was going to say, do you see a lot of your brother in your nephews still?
I sure do. You know, I see the way they talk, and like I say, and some of the things they say reminds me, and I let them know that too. You know, you know.
So obviously today's is a milestone. Did you ever, I know your brother said he never thought that you'd be here 20 years or 25 years later, you know, still looking for Bob, but here you are, and it, you know, just been a roller coaster over the past 25 years.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah. He reminded me of when we were in the first week, I think he said, when we were searching all over for him, you know, that he mentioned to me that, you know, what it's going to be like if we're doing this 20 years from now. And I
right.
said, well, there's no way that's going to be, you know.
Right.
Here we are 25 years down the road. So it is a little surreal. But the, you know what? The police have been great. The community has been really great. Everybody has supported us and always asked about it and stuff, even though they're reluctant to bring up a sore subject. Sometimes you can
sure.
tell when someone's about to ask you that, especially if somebody I meet new and they realize my last name and we related to that guy that's missing. And then, you know, I'll say, well, yeah, he's my older brother. And then, mm-hmm. oh my God, you know, and all that stuff. But it certainly is one of the biggest mysteries of the Sioux in my memory, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah.
And I guess, and you mentioned the police. I mean, how's it been to work with the Sioux police? I mean, I know we've talked to the detective that's in charge now, Detective Harp, and, you know, yep. he's been, seemed really optimistic that he's going to get to the bottom of this for you guys. How has it been working with the police?
It has been, I mean, I can say nothing good about the police in the Sioux. I mean, we've been through, I believe Harp would be the fourth
right.
or fifth person assigned this case. Chewy McLeod, Bill McLeod, who just passed away this past year,
mm-hmm.
was the first one. And he would tell me when I'd see him out in the community after he retired and everything that he always really bothered him, and it's one of those cases that stuck with him. But I think they've done remarkably well with the resources they've had. I'm not saying that it would be any different in a larger community, but it is a small community. And, you know, we've had all kinds of different agencies involved in this over the years. So private detectives, the FBI partly at one time, you know, so... Yeah, I mean, I would say nothing good about what they've done in the past.
Yeah, nothing but good for the Sioux St. Marie Police Department. I know that the like you said, that there's been, you know, detectives that have gone on and retired and passed
yep.
away and
yep.
and you know, have worked that case and everything. But so here you are, 25 years later. You didn't think you'd be here at this point, but you are.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the possibility of getting some closure on this for you and your
well,
family?
What I know, and I don't know everything that is going on in the last, say, 6 months stuff. My brother, Scott, and his wife, Kathy, have really led the charge over the last 10 years and really devoted a lot of time and energy towards resolving this case. So, and I think... at this point, we're closer than we've ever been to finding out the truth. And that feels a little apprehensive, but it feels good too. So hopefully in the next upcoming weeks, we're gonna have some closure on this. That's what I'm hoping for. So we can see kind of light at the end of the tunnel, hopefully.
And how's that going to feel once you finally do get closure there, Steve? How's that going to feel?
You know, it's going to be, like I say, it's going to be a surreal feeling that, you know, it'll be happy that we have closure for the family and find out what happened to him. But it's going to be sad no matter what we do. The whole thing is a sad, sad situation, you know, with whether it be with... You know, his wife, his kids, our family, you know, it's a sad situation when someone disappears for that long
yeah.
without a trace. And, I guess a sense of relief the biggest feeling I would have.
I know when we talked to Detective Harpy, you know, they're still taking leads. If anybody has any information, contact the city police, you know, and give them. And that's what we're hoping that tonight, you know, we get this information out there and get people talking and thinking about it, you know, Bob, again, if they haven't in a while, and just let people remember that this case is still an active case, and there's a family of brothers and a wife and children that want some closure on this. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, every time we have the publicity, you know, we love it because it's just like, you know, shaking the bushes out there and reminding everybody that, like you said, this is still an open, active case, you know, with the police department, and they're investigating it as they have for 25 years.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's a great situation right now because people are talking about it. And I think that the advent of the social media and how it's grown helps a lot too, because you've never had that many close neighbors talking to each other about one thing, and there's literally thousands of them that are connected that way, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I mentioned too when we talked to other, you know, your brother and Christy, and talking to a Detective Harp too, that the technology that we have today, whether it be cell phones or social media or whatever, mm-hmm. we didn't have that back then. I mean, even if we had cell phones, we had
of it back then.
We,
you know?
even if you had a cell phone in Sault Ste. Marie, you had terrible cell coverage. So,
yeah, I might have had one back then, but it was too big to carry around.
For sure.
Now we have it all in one little phone. Our whole life.
That's crazy. So, Steve, anything else you want to add before we let you go? We certainly appreciate you sharing your thoughts about your brother, and you know, everybody here at the station is just thinking about you and Scott and Kathy and Christy and the boys and everything today as this anniversary comes up. But anything else you want to add?
No, I appreciate what you're doing for us. We always appreciate it. Any concern anybody has for the family. And I know, like I said, the truth will come out. That's what we're searching for. We're always searching for the truth. That's what we want. We want the truth. So.
Absolutely. Well, Steve Dale, we appreciate you spending some time with us here today. And we look forward to talking to you once we can get this resolved. And hopefully, you said, you know, sooner rather than later, you know, that we're not going to another anniversary, and we're actually
absolutely
giving you guys a chance to get some closure on this. So Steve Dale joining us here on 1230 WSOO. Thank you, Steve, for sharing your story with us tonight. Again, if you have any information about Bob Dale, no matter how insignificant you might think it is, you're encouraged to contact the Sault Ste. Marie Police Department at 906-632-5744. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll hear from Bob's brother, Scott.